Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think we are just pretty much going to start off with the music, but we do have a conversation topic coming up later on.
Yes, kind of reflects our weekend together as we did a little bit of thrifting, which we'd like to discuss more about later on.
Some of the ethics of thrifting, one could say.
Yeah, some of the ethics, a little discussion, but we'll leave that for later. So we're just going to start off with some music. So the first one is going to be It Gets Easier by Tanuki-chan. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Woman in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Your love is like a paradise. I'm stuck outside the gate. The opening is ever wide, but I can't fit through with my bags. I'm simply asking, is it better or worse to act like I'm worth it until it comes true? I'm simply asking, does it pass by? Will love and feel this hard for the rest of my life? I think I'm broken, might have got it backwards. When I was programmed, they might have missed a pattern. Cause you're here and you're perfect, and I want this to happen. But I just feel so lonely and on a different planet. I think I'm broken, oh. Your love is like a cityscape, but I grew up in cold fields. Your shadow's taking over me, but I think I like how it feels. I'm simply thinking about my whole life, how I hadn't met myself until then. Cause I've been too scared to live my life. I think I'm broken, might have got it backwards. When I was programmed, they might have missed a pattern. Cause you're here and you're perfect, and I want this to happen. But I just feel so lonely and on a different place. Some strings till I could finally take it. Lived half a life, I did my share of faking. I can't avoid it, comes out in spaces. It's begging to be found. I think I'm broken, might have got it backwards. When I was programmed, they might have missed a pattern. Cause you're here and you're perfect, and I want this to happen. But I just feel so lonely and on a different planet. I think I'm broken. I think I'm broken. I think I'm broken. I think I'm broken.
Welcome, welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I am just going to introduce the last couple songs you heard. So this one you just heard was Outside the Gate by Katie Tupper. She's awesome. This is just released from a new single, and she's from Saskatchewan. And then the one before that was Never Ender, which is the Kate Trinata remix. By Justice, Tame Impala, and Kate Trinata. So
that was good.
Pretty good. We have a little light lamp in here that they just recently bought for the station. It's one of those really colorful light up lamps that I don't know.
It syncs with the music.
Yeah, it syncs with it. So it was going crazy during that song. Mm-hmm. So definitely.
I was so happy.
Oh yeah.
Just staring at that.
It was nice.
That's all I need. Just some sensory, you know. Relief is good.
But anyways, we foreshadowed a little before that we were going to talk a little bit about thrifting. So DJ Star and I went thrifting to Valley Village this weekend because we felt the irrepressible urge to go
get
for
some
a
winter
while.
Jackets.
Get some jackets. Mm-hmm. Get ready for fall and winter. We did find some good stuff though. I think I found a really nice scarf, and I got a belt, which I was very excited about.
Yeah, I got some flats that DJ Coco said looked like a grandmother's.
They do.
And
they
I do. Also got this fur jacket that DJ Coco also was hating on. But then I got this nice cardigan.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Just, it's okay. I can take the criticism.
Yeah. But we were both successful. So
yeah, personal success.
It was successes. A good trip. But we did go to Value Village, which is, I think, one of the...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. One of the most popular thrift shops, charity shops around, because it's a big chain.
Well, it's not a charity.
Yeah,
shop,
that's...
That's what we're going
like
to get into.
Discuss, because Value Village is a for-profit corporation, but...
Something crazy is that just... Yeah, it's for-profit. They made $1.4 billion in 2023, so just last year. Mm-hmm. That counts the US and Canada, which is billion.
Yeah.
They made 1.4 billion
with essentially free merchandise.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It is essentially free.
Yeah, there's a specific number I think DJ Star had.
Oh yeah, they collect a lot of their clothing from organizations like Big Brother. And then they get clothes from them, which are also like donated for free, and they buy clothes from them for, I think it's 4 cents per pound of clothing. So it doesn't matter, you know, the brand or anything. Like, it's just they're doing it by mass weight.
Right. And then they also get clothing from just people dropping it off
as well.
But yeah, they just get so much clothing. They said on their website that 95% of it gets resold. I don't know how.
95%?
95%.
No way.
That's why it's on their official website, which I find baffling. There's no way that they can resell 95%.
I was reading an article, and it was from The Guardian, so they were doing it in the UK. But for Salvation Army, only 10 to 30% of the clothing actually gets sold.
Really?
So the fact that Value Village is saying it's 95% in US and Canada, there is no way.
Yeah, because this wasn't on a news article or anything. This was their official website. But mm-hmm. I think there's probably some fine print somewhere.
Yeah, it gets sold, right? So yeah. I know... Okay, I do have a sidebar for later, but I might just bring it up right now, is that for Salvation Army specifically, that for the clothes that aren't actually sold in store, they'll like resell to traders, and then those are traders who like retail them. So it might, Valley Village honestly might be talking about that potentially.
Yeah, it was really, it just felt like a insane statistic that has definitely stretched a bit, but Value Village is known for doing that. I remember a couple of years ago with Value Village, I was just telling DJ Star about this, about how they had these massive green advertisements on each of their buildings, and it would say, donate to a nonprofit in massive block letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made you think, oh, wow, oh, Value Village, it's a nonprofit. But then you look at the very tiny fine print underneath that, if you were driving by in a car, you wouldn't be able to see that whatsoever. Mm-mm. But then it would say Value Village is a for-profit corporation. That's such a weasel move.
Yeah, and I think there was even a Supreme case, like a Supreme Court case made against that, and Value Village ended up winning it. But it's just how misleading that they are in their advertisements and things like that for consumers.
Exactly. So how could you even trust their website even for what they say? Because what if there's some tiny little print at the bottom that says, oh, maybe this is not all true, and maybe we've kind of messed around these statistics and made you think that it was for something else.
Yeah.
But things like that I find just so weaselly.
Value Village in general is pretty weaselly. The fact that there's no returns allowed, it's only exchanges.
No try-on.
No fitting rooms taken away. It's pretty much all self-checkout. Like, it is just a corporation like many other corporations that is trying to maximize profits to the most degree possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now they're reducing staff with putting in all those registers that don't even need a person to be around. So
And they're upping the prices on everything,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly. Leather jacket, I've seen $60, $70 for a used one. Crazy.
Yeah, and it is crazy because a lot of the clothing isn't of the highest quality there either, even if it might be a name brand that they're pricing up to $25 or something like that for a shirt.
That you can't even try on.
You can't try on.
But in their defense, they did have try-ons before, but they got rid of them all in COVID and then never brought them back.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I feel like there should at least be some change rooms put in, but maybe there was issues with stealing or whatever other.
I mean, there's always problems. Those concerns, but I mean, they made $1.4 billion last year. So, I mean, like, what is this stealing really doing? Especially if you're getting all of your clothes for 4 cents per pound. It's, yeah.
Well, they
it's just greedy.
Yeah, they do want the bang for their buck. So,
yeah.
But it is, yeah, we say all this, but we did go and support Valley Village by buying and purchasing goods from there. So,
It is a bit, how do I say this? Like, when you're shopping for clothes, and I know we live in an economy of hyper-consumerism, but, like, if you are going to decide to shop for new clothes for a certain season or something, Valley Village or Salvation Army or any of these secondhand stores is more sustainable, I think, than participating in fast fashion. So that's, like, the reasoning behind why I personally thrift. But I think there are a lot of things we can also criticize about thrifting, and also just, on top of thrifting, the kind of consumerist culture that we have.
Yeah, I would agree, too. I'd say definitely thrifting your clothes is better. But I feel like recently, just in the past couple decades, is that fast fashion is now entering into thrift stores. And so even if you do go try to find thrift items and maybe like a really nice jacket, you can find that a lot of them are from fast fashion, like Zara to Shein. I saw a lot of Shein this weekend, that there was some clothing that basically looked like there were two stitches between them. So it's a problem that I feel like it's going to get worse even in the future, because I think we're at the tail end of the older generation giving away their clothes, and now we're all entering into a period where we're all wanting to buy more, buy cheaper, buy so much, just keep up with the trends and things like that.
Yeah, like, especially with this new idea, like, semi-new, maybe past 5 years or so, of micro trends as these very fast cycling through trends, that's why fast fashion brands like Shein are doing, you know, pretty well for themselves, because they are seeing these like micro trends, tailoring to them, and then as soon as it goes out of style, like the next day they have something new. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's just, yeah, we see that filtering into the thrift stores, but we also see just people are also shopping for micro trends within thrift stores. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, this is in style right now, like, I'm going to shop for this instead of shopping for, you know, what they actually need. And a lot of times we don't need any of these clothes that we're shopping for. Like, even when I got this weekend, it's not like I need it.
A winter jacket. I mean,
like, a winter jacket, yeah, it's good, but it's not the warmest either. Like,
Did you put it on?
I put it on a few days ago. It wasn't super warm. But, you know, you reason to yourself, like, oh, this is, I don't know, like $13, $14 for a jacket. But DJ Coco and I were talking about this before. Is it, like, more sustainable to do thrifting or to buy long-lasting clothing, is a question DJ Coco posed.
I totally believe, and I think it's because my mom pushed it on me a lot, is that I used to be a big, big thrifter in high school, and I would buy a lot of, not necessarily junk, but a lot of junk clothing that were two sizes too big for me, and some of the, like, the brands weren't proper brands, and they was fast fashion I was buying from thrift stores. And so now I'm kind of trying to switch into buying more high quality clothes and being more mindful of what I purchase. And I've learned from my mom, because she has a lot of high quality clothing pieces that she's kept for decades and decades that she can continue to wear to this day. And that is, I feel, much more sustainable by having, like, let's say one wool coat that you bought in the 70s that you could wear all throughout your life, versus like going to the thrift store and buying like maybe someone's fast fashion trendy trench coat that they just threw in the thrift store, and you buy, and then you have to buy one later. But that's just my thoughts on it.
It is, yeah, like, you want to look for something that's timeless, right? If you're like looking for that type of clothing, but it's just not quite as interesting. I mean, it's not a good point. Like, it's not a very good counterpoint, because I do believe that is probably the more sustainable way to go. But in terms of like self-expression for fashion, like, obviously we don't need to express ourselves through that way. And it feels like, for me, in the past, I've kind of rationalized thrifting as, oh, like, these clothes were thrown away anyways. Like, it's not like I'm consuming extra or anything, but you still kind of are, like, you're still contributing to that cycle and, you know, maybe taking those clothes away from somebody who might need them, compared to just like, oh, I'm going to add this extra little trinket to my closet kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I always feel bad about going thrifting now, slightly in the back of my head, because, like, thrifting was meant for people, not more lower income, but there are people who actually really need to find good quality thrift store items. And I feel like, for me, who I can, my family can afford just, like, getting some good quality pieces there and then, like, Should I be going to the thrift store and trying to find all these new trends and new items I can improve my wardrobe, when they should be given to someone else who's more worthy of getting it?
But also, when you talk about, like, buying clothes new that are going to be long lasting, I think you could also find, if you looked hard enough in thrift stores, like, good quality clothing that will last you a long time too.
It would depend on the thrift store, because I feel like Valley Village, I've never really found really high quality clothing there, but you'd have to go to a nice vintage shop, because those have, they're higher priced secondhand apparel, but they're definitely a lot better to buy. I think that would be the sweet spot, is going to vintage stores specifically.
I don't know. I've been to so many vintage stores where it's just like a gross, dirty shirt from like the 90s with sweat and paint on it. They're like, this is $50. And it's like, okay, whatever. It's just a ripoff. But yeah, there might be some. It just, yeah, it depends on the store. But I think even at Valley Village, if you look hard enough, you could find.
Agree to disagree.
There was something I kind of just wanted to touch on, diverging away from just thrifting in general, but I watched this documentary in one of my anthropology courses first year, and it was really interesting. It was just something about Salvation Army specifically, but I know that there are a few other corporations that do this as well, and it's kind of what I was alluding to before with how a lot of donated clothes that don't sell will be sold to traders, and then they'll bring that over to a lot of different countries even. Like, I think the documentary that I watched focused specifically in Africa, in Nigeria. And so then they'll, like, take all of these unsold clothes that a lot of them aren't very good quality, and a lot of them are pretty much just garbage, but they'll take them to certain countries in Africa and then give them to the African people to, like, sell them. And I just thought the documentary talked a lot about how it kind of destroys their local economy there, because it's, you're selling these kind of ratty clothes, so there's a certain ceiling of money that you can make, like, income. And you can't really get out of poverty that way. It just kind of keeps you hovering on that line.
Yeah, because also adding on to that, because I think I read a little bit too, in that they make only around $1 a day in their country, but these used clothings are about $1.50 or $2.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad, because they're, like, this happens a lot with just, you know, Western discarded whatever resources that we have, or, like, waste. We kind of dump it on to other countries for them to deal with, and this is even done under the guise of some sort of charity, like, oh, we're giving it to them so they can sell it, but it's not really like that, because it is you know, they don't have, when you're competing with these clothes that are, like, sold for a really low price, things that are made within the country, within the local economy, done by local people, obviously are going to be priced a bit higher as well. So that makes a very small opportunity for those kinds of businesses to thrive. So it's kind of wrecking the economy there. And I just, it's nothing, like, I still don't want to say that I'm anti-thrifting, because I think thrifting is a really good alternative to shopping at the mall or something like that. But it is very interesting to note how it feels a little colonial, I think, in a way. Like, for Salvation Army to be doing that, I mean, is, like, you know, kind of obfuscating all of this garbage, basically.
True.
And then dumping it into, like, Nigeria or any of these African countries and saying, like, okay, yeah, it's basically your problem now.
Yeah.
At the same time, using those clothes to be their kind of textile economy instead of their own local economy, like, being able to build itself back up.
Right. Yeah, and similar with garbage as well. Just the same idea of just, it's someone else's problem, here you go.
And it's just, it's so, it feels so disrespectful and so wrong to me.
Yeah.
But
what can we do about it? What
I know
can
that's
we do? Even though that's,
I don't know, it's just something I wanted to mention because when I learned about it in first year anthropology class, I was like, oh wow,
yeah,
I didn't know anything about that. And I know this documentary goes into a lot more detail, and I'm just kind of talking about the basics here, but I think I also read something somewhere that it said after colonialism, but I don't think colonialism is fully done, but it said after colonialism, like, there was this plan for Africa to, you know, like, produce its